Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we reflected on last night's Forest-Sheffield United game in the company of a very excited Matt Ford, understandably. We spoke to the world watercress-eating champion. Of course we did. We were also joined by... My mind has gone blank.
Jim Rosenthal.
Jim Rosenthal joined us. Sorry, Jim, if you're listening... And lots more besides. We had a bit of a chat. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. It was one of those evenings where I found myself sort of flicking from channel to channel, but I found myself... I couldn't see a way back for Southampton once that goal went in, so I stayed front and centre with Forest.
It's really going.
It was bizarre, wasn't it?
Everything's running for Liverpool. It is. You do feel... I don't think they're going to do it, actually.
Really? You think City are going to...
Yeah, I think City may well blow against... it. Yeah. It's a difficult fixture. I mean, whereas Wolves, I hope Connor Cody's listening, but Wolves are going to be a pushover.
Villa
for
at
Liverpool.
Home for City is a difficult fixture.
I do think it's a difficult game.
With the pressure that's on it.
With the pressure, the fact that Villa are playing quite well, and Steven Gerrard and Coutinho and all the situations. Look, you'd expect City to win. Of course, they're going to be favourites going into the match.
But you know, they were big favourites going into that QPR match all those years ago, although they are a better team now, I think it's fair to say. But yeah, the other match was amazing, wasn't it? It looked like Forest, when Brennan Johnson got that goal, you thought it's done.
Yeah.
And then, but Sheffield United second half were fantastic.
They played brilliantly.
Yeah. So,
see, Michael Oliver, he must quite enjoy reffing without VAR.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, less pressure, although obviously it's still on the telly. And, as well as the football, though, I watched the highlights of the Cheltenham Literature Festival.
Very good. Really?
Yes. It was really good.
You went multi-screened, did you?
I did. The best bit was Martin Amis and Zadie Jones in the Guinness tent with Alan and Ray.
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
So I'm in Paris. Alan's telling that one again. I'm in Paris and there's a naked man. And he said, I wonder what Martin Amis would have made of that. He probably would have liked it.
He would have.
I've got no idea. It is a good story. Go and see him live. You'll get the full version.
It is interesting. I get a lot of stick on the Chelsea chat site for being too pessimistic. Fair enough, I'd say.
I think you're a little ray of sunshine.
No,
I don't get it.
But wouldn't you say that underneath you're the same as me? your text to me on Monday during that game with 2-0, I'm still worried. I wanted to be.
I mean, 88 minutes I started to relax.
Aren't we all the same? It's not just me, is it? I mean, how do you feel about Sunday?
I feel I'm not doing any crowing. I'm not getting ahead of myself. They've still got to win a game of football.
Yeah, you're still concerned about it, aren't you?
Absolutely concerned about it. Yeah, you know, they're playing without pressure. I'm that sad. I went back and watched highlights of Wolves Norwich the other day, and I thought, although Pukki missed about four chances, he put one away. He was getting in good positions. He was making good runs, and I'm thinking, blimey, you know, I'm worried.
You always have that fear when you're playing a team that are already relegated. Somehow they're going to relax and they'll just turn it on. And I mean, but you know, look,
last home game of the season. Spurs. You can't play for a point. They're going to have to go for it, aren't they? They're going to have to go out and look to win the game. And you're right, they should do, but. I'm not getting overexcited.
I don't know if you remember from a few years back, one of our listeners, a big listener, Bernie from Panzers, he was a smoked salmon.
Yeah, I remember Bernie, yeah, good man.
Smoked salmon cutter. Well, I was interested today because Emma Raducanu, she's talking about her regime, and she has smoked salmon three times a day.
Wow.
So she's looking for a coach. I was thinking, why not appoint Bernie?
Bernie from Panzers, the man who used to cut the smoked salmon. I mean, she can have it Waffer Finn. She can have thick cuts, can't she? You're listening in medium wave, careful what you say.
Of course.
That's a very nice idea.
Thank you very much.
It's a bit niche. But
and talking of tennis, I don't know if... Apparently, Boris Becker complained about the size of his cell.
Right.
It's not a hotel. Is he hoping for an upgrade?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, if you don't ask, you don't get. You can ask for an upgrade, can't you?
Well,
turn up in
can,
a suit,
really.
They might give you an upgrade. You never know. A couple of things to get you going on. This was Liverpool fans and Everton, according to a survey, are most likely to wear replica kit to watch their team on TV. Now, I've got to be honest.
Which team? Sorry, I didn't catch.
Everton first in their poll,
yeah.
Liverpool second. People, that if they're watching their team on telly, they'll get one and possibly four replica kits.
My grandson does, but then he wears the kit every day.
He's five.
And he wears the kit every single day.
But you've told me before, you've actually put the Chelsea shirt on to listen to a game on the radio, listen to it on TalkSport.
That's true.
That's very odd. I mean, actually, it's no odder than doing it on the telly, is it, really?
No, not really.
But you go and put your kit on to listen to the team.
Well, sometimes in the past it has helped, you know.
No, it hasn't.
Of course it has.
There's absolutely no evidence of that at all. In the past, it has helped.
Well, they've gone on to win when they're losing.
But that had nothing to do with you pulling on that vintage yellow shirt, did it? Really?
We've no idea.
So if there's one shirt you turn to, what's the one you turn to? Because that's the one, as Andy thinks, it goes on to win you games. When they're on the telly, not even at the match, they've got to be on the telly or on the radio. Maybe you put your shirt on when you used to follow it on CFAX. Do let us know this afternoon. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. And the other thing to get you going on today, there's a hedgehog, Andy, and it got wedged in a 2-foot hole which had been dug for
hedgehog.
That's your headline.
Yeah.
That had been dug for a goalpost on a football field.
Oh, dear.
The good people of the RSPCA in Newcastle came along and they dug the hedgehog out from the hole that had been dug for a goalpost, and they have nicknamed him
Postie.
No, a bit more on the nose than that.
I don't know.
Think of a Newcastle, think of a Geordie footballing great.
Jackie Milburn.
No, you've gone a bit early for that.
Alan Shearer.
Yes. A hedgehog was nicknamed Shearer after it got wedged in a 2-foot hole down.
I know what you're going to say. It wasn't me, it was the other hedgehogs.
Yeah. So, we're looking for fairly obscure names. Maybe you take the dog for a walk now and again or whatever, or they say, well, what's your cat's name? Why is it called that? Oh, yeah, he used to play left-back for Accrington Stanley. It could be obvious, it might not be, but let's have a few of those pet names from the world of sport and why you went down that route. The more obscure, the better.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs. Upstart Crow returns to the West End after, I think we've all had a break, haven't we, really?
Yes.
For obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
It was going great guns in the West End, but it is back at the Gielgud Theatre after, yes, that slight impasse. Joining us now, the star of the show, David Mitchell. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon. Hello.
As Ben Elton has said, interrupted by a plague, effectively, wasn't it, the run in the West End?
Yeah, very appropriate to the theme of the show and the era, but that didn't help us. I should say, by the way, we are not at the Gielgud Theatre, where we were before, but we're now at the we're at the Apollo, which is just next door on Shaftesbury Avenue.
Oh, I do apologise. Okay.
No, I just, wouldn't want people going to the wrong
place. I wonder what's on at the Gielgud. Could be good for them if they're having a bit of a slow time of it.
Our producer saw this before the pandemic, David, and he absolutely loved it. So you got a very rave review from him.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's nice. We were just having such a great time doing it. And I'd worried so much about doing a West End show and, whether it would flop or be grueling or my knee wouldn't cope or all that kind of thing. And none of those things went wrong. And then a massive thing went wrong that I'd never predicted in a million years. So it's brilliant to be back doing it. And I can't wait.
My knee couldn't cope, sounding remarkably like a sports injury, but we will come back to that a little bit later on. Yeah, should be fit for the weekend. I'm sure people are aware of Upstart Crow. They would have seen it on TV. If they haven't, tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it's based on, there was a TV sitcom, and this is a play in the same world. It's about William Shakespeare. And that's what William Shakespeare, in the only review of his work published in his lifetime, he was referred to as an upstart crow. Mm. So basically, he got a bad review. And it's Shakespeare as a comic character, as a put upon, aspirant, sort of arrogant yet self-loathing figure, the figure of sitcom, the figure of a stage play. And it's written by Ben Elton, and who's brilliant, and I think it's some of his best writing. And it was a show I was so proud of, and then we just suddenly had to stop, and we just want in every way to put it back like it was, and drill it and give everyone a really a really laugh filled night in the theatre.
How does it differ from the TV show?
I have to talk louder.
That's about it,
that, and it's longer. But there is a gap in the middle to drink alcohol. But it's in a way that, because when it was as a TV sitcom, it's a studio sitcom with audience laughter, so it's the most theatrical form of television, and that really worked very well, obviously, with the Shakespearean theme, and so it lent itself incredibly easily to the stage, because it's in a way it's written to be proclaimed, and there are these great jokes throughout, and they're there to be said and said loudly in front of people. It's not realism, it's heightened, and it's fun and it's wordy, so it's sort of perfect for the theatre.
I saw one of the reviews, it says something like, just like Shakespeare, only actually funny, which may be a touch harsh, but you do sometimes see you kind of these witty exchanges you get in the odd Shakespeare, and you think, I wouldn't open with it. So,
I mean, Shakespeare, I could not admire the man more. He was the greatest artist of all time. Yeah. But unfortunately, comedy dates. Yeah. And I'm bitterly aware of it as a comedian. I'm sure all those witty exchanges were absolute zingers in their day. Mm. And it's, in a way, it's an amazing achievement that any of his jokes have come through. But unfortunately, tragedy and drama last longer than comedy. Comedy has to be kept in the fridge.
I always loved his commuting problems and kind of nod to Reginald Perrin, the reasons why he was late. They were very funny.
Well, I always used to laugh particularly at that, because in Shakespeare's day, he did all his work in London, but his family were in Stratford, and that was basically a 2 or 3 day grueling journey. And when we were making the sitcom, Ben Elton lived and his family were in Australia, and we made the show in London. It was basically a 2 or 3 day grueling journey. So I felt a lot of Ben's frustration with travel was projected onto William Shakespeare in those bits.
I'm, you mentioned the knee earlier on, and our producer held up a piece of paper to me just now, who's seen the show, who said there is a lot of dancing in it. Maybe that, is that why you thought it was the, you know, the knee would struggle to hold out?
There was a there's a dance at the end. Mm. The two things that worried me about my knee, I was warned about it by other actors. Well, A, there's a dance at the end, and B, the show is on a rake, you know, a slight slope. Oh. And actors, in the way they are, said, oh, that could be murder. You've got to be very careful working on a rake for weeks and weeks and weeks. You've got to warm up carefully. And I don't really know how to warm up. So I was worried about that. And I've got, you know, I've had a dodgy back for years, and I thought, oh, this is going to be awful. But actually it was fine. I don't know why, but I kept fidgeting about, and that seemed to keep everything, you know, loosened.
And, of course, Would I Lie to You is still going strong, still winning awards, which is good.
We love doing that show. In fact, at the moment, I'm in Halifax doing a little small sort of theatre tour with Rob Brydon and Lee Mack.
Oh, excellent.
We sort of go around and do a sort of few evenings, and so we're having a nice time doing that. So I should, hopefully I'll be in good theatrical form come the autumn.
Now, you're not a big sports fan, David, I think it's fair to say, but here we are on Talk Sport. But you did give us on Mitchell and Webb possibly the greatest trailer of all time. Our trails department here at Talk Sport still use it, I think, as inspiration. We're going to play people haven't heard it. I think they probably have heard it in their own way. But anyway, this is a reminder of the Mitchell and Webb football trailer.
All the football, all the time. Catch all of the constantly happening football here. It's all here and it's all football, always. It is impossible to keep track of all the football, but your best chance is here. Thousands and thousands of hours of football, each more climactic than the last. Constant, dizzying, 24-hour, year-long, endless football. Every kick of it massively mattering to someone, presumably. Watch it all here, all the time, forever. It will never stop. The football is officially going on forever. It will never be finally decided who has won the football. There is still everything to play for and forever to play it in. So that's the football. Coming up, watch it. Watch the football.
Now, as somebody probably doesn't watch a great deal of football or Sky Sports or BT or listen to sports radio, you probably don't realise just how incredibly accurate that is.
Well, it's, to be honest, that was how football trailers felt to me. Yeah. It felt like it's just constant and yet trying to create a sense of climax. And you can't have a sense of climax in something that is never ending. So that.
Yeah, it's one of the memorable. I'm sure people do recall it when they see you now and again, don't they? Those that love this.
It's one of those sketches. Like people who don't like football laugh at it, and people who like football laugh at it. Yeah. So that's, it's worked on that in that sense.
Fantastic. So you start 23rd of September. You're back in the West.
That's right. Yes, 23rd of September to the 3rd of December. We're there 10 weeks, and. And yeah, I can't wait. And I just, yeah, I hope all the people who were planning to come last time and couldn't because of the pandemic, to take the opportunity to do so this time, because it was really, you know, such a fun night. And well, I certainly enjoyed it.
Excellent. Well, it's, I'll get it right this time. Apollo Theatre, Shaftesbury Avenue, Friday the 23rd of September, 3rd of December. Tickets on sale now. UpstartCrowTheComedy.com. David and Gemma Whelan together in the show. Good to speak to you, David. Thanks very much. Best of luck with the run.
Thanks so much. Nice to talk to you.
Take care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us in the studio now, as we were saying, a veteran of many a big European football night. Jim Rosenthal is
Jim,
here.
A bit of pressure there for me doing that read in front of Jim.
Yeah, not easy. One take, one.
I was going to help you out there.
Yeah, Jim, we should have given it to you. Poised, you could have done it properly.
With a better voice. Nice to be here, though, Jim.
Yeah, lovely to see you. It's been a while. I'm trying to. Can you think back to those first European finals you did for ITV back in the day?
Goodness me, I guess the one that I would remember above all, that's not the first one, was the Man United one in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And that was that astonishing comeback where dear old Leonard Johansson, the old UEFA president, sort of came down from his lofty perch with Bayern winning 1-0 to present the trophy. And by the time he'd worked his way down the Nou Camp lifts and all that... Man United were winning, and he couldn't quite work out why the rosettes were the wrong colours were on the trophy. So,
what was your role that night, Jim? Remind us.
I think I was around to do a bit of interviewing that night. I think I'd done the build up. That's what it was, and so I could just sit there and enjoy this. Ridiculous comeback, but I mean, listen. Listening to the talks this morning, Jim. There, I mean, fair to say, one or two Scots have gone to that final.
I think
would appear. Yeah. Doesn't it fascinate you that you'll get there's 150,000 people turn up knowing they're not going to get in the game. They'll come from
just
Perth
want
and
to
goodness
absorb
knows where.
The atmosphere, just be part of it. You know,
I had some friends who did that around the Madrid final against Liverpool, and I'm sure Liverpool fans did the same. You know, their friends had tickets; they were unlikely to get them, but they just wanted to be in the city to soak up the atmosphere.
Want to be part of it. Yeah. And I know I'm always of the belief that if there is a British team of any sort in a final, you support them. I know that's heresy to a load.
Unless you're a Celtic fan tonight, you've got to give them a pass, haven't you, really?
I suppose so. Oh, yeah. Having been up in that city, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's right.
It's difficult. I definitely want Real Madrid to beat Liverpool. I'm sorry.
I'm
not with you on that. If they do the quadruple, I mean, they're a brilliant team, I know that. But,
yeah. No, I didn't say it was a universal opinion. It's just the way I am, I think.
You mentioned interviewing managers there. I think one of the most difficult jobs in football reporting, because they're so tricky at times. Did you have to do Fergie a lot? Because he was
I did, and I'd interviewed him a heck of a lot as well. You know, in my career, I always found him. He would look you in the eye and not give you the answer you wanted, but he would always give you answers. Mm. He could intimidate people for sure. But I think these days there is probably because there's so many interviews, you know, Andy, that they just get fed up with it these days, don't they? And very few that will give you a standout. Mm. Wow.
One thing you did ITV on your Champions League coverage, you and Gary Newbon were the ones doing it, or Gabriel Clark, was that half-time interview. So often with Sir Alex, emerging out for the second half, and you'd grab them for like 30 seconds.
Which I thought was good.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I thought that was good, and I know they're trying to bring that in, aren't they? And it shouldn't be that much of a problem, really. But, of course, it's a... Whereas we used our relationship
for them to. Depends what the score is at
half-time. Well, I guess you've got to show a bit. You've got to be a bit sensible, haven't you?
Yeah. The fact that Alex Ferguson would do it, he would stop for you guys and he'd say, "Yeah, weren't happy. I told him we need to do this, that, and the other," and then he'd go and take his seat.
You see what you get there, Paul, is an insight. And that's what you need from it. That's what you want, something extra.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you can get that, it's well worth doing. If you're going to get just another load of platitudes, it's not. But that's what I think all interviews should be. They should give you something that you don't know. Should give you something extra.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen that often.
Now, you're taking in a game of football tonight.
I am, yes.
You've got friends who run and own Northampton Town. They're in the playoff. They're 2-1 down from the first leg against Mansfield. They probably hoped they would have automatically qualified.
It was controversial, and it was one of the strangest afternoons of my sporting life, if I'm honest to you. The scenario was Northampton had to win the game at Barrow, and Bristol Rovers had to beat Scunthorpe with plus 5 goals.
Yeah.
An unlikely scenario, and the first bit happened. And the second bit, Bristol Rovers managed to beat Scunthorpe by 7-0. And the look on the faces of those of the Northampton players at Barrow will live with me for a very long time, really. And it's a tough one to recover from, that very strange swing on the last day.
Mario Kempe enjoyed that one.
Well, again, I mean, that's absolutely right. And I thought, the only time I could think of something similar was back in that 1978 World Cup when Argentina had to win by 6 and somehow won by 6. And
I'm sure not for the same reason.
No, it is a bit. But anyway. But look, you know, we live in the present day. 2-1 down to Mansfield. It took the Northampton players 45 minutes to shake that shock out of the system on Saturday. and be a full house tonight. And my two big pals, Kelvin Thomas and David Bauer, who own the club, I'll be there supporting and hope they come through.
Now, obviously, Huddersfield will have a big say in this because they're a good side. But
yes,
there will be a lot of focus on Forest because they've been away from the Premier League for such a long time.
Yep.
And you had many a conversation with Brian Clough, didn't you? And
yes,
a few run-ins and...
Definitely,
but it was always great value, wasn't it?
He was, funnily enough, I mean, you might have asked this deliberately because his son Nigel was in charge of Mansfield.
Of course,
tonight.
He is. Yeah,
that's why you went to Brian Clough, wasn't it? I'm sure it was.
Oh,
I'm
yes,
sure
well
it was.
Done.
There you go.
Oh,
that
good,
was very,
yeah.
very,
thank
very,
you very, much.
Very perceptive of you.
Yeah, of course.
But
I just let you make that end yourselves. I wasn't going to hammer it home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, listen, we talk about TV gold and things like that. And Brian was, and actually set the trail really for modern studio pundits, if you like.
Mm.
He was always an interesting interviewee as well. Mind you, you had to wait hours normally for him to turn up. He was never the best time. He always keep you waiting.
So you'll have a chat with Nigel tonight.
I hope so. Yeah. No. Absolutely. And you talk about Nottingham Forest last night. I mean, I thought Sheffield United were desperately unfortunate last night.
Yeah, played
second half they were great.
I thought they were out.
Big save by Samba when he just made himself big.
It was a huge moment.
The penalty save, the one off his wrist.
Yeah.
Bar. That was incredible.
You've probably seen it, Jimmy. One of the Forest fans managed to pick up his water bottle after all the mayhem on the pitch.
What was in that then?
And it wasn't what was in it, it was what was written on it.
Yeah.
Every one of those that were likely to take penalties, about 11 names and their favoured side.
Well,
and so to actually stand in the middle of the goal for one of the pens took some doing.
That preparation.
Yeah.
And he did the old Bruce Grobler, didn't he? Which I've not seen.
Yeah,
he did the old wobbly legs, didn't he?
Which back to
not,
Rome.
But he owned that penalty area, didn't he? In that shootout, and they are such high tension affairs. These playoffs, honestly, there is nothing like them, and your whole season's work can flicker away with one missed chance.
It's kind of harder to lose that semi-final, I guess, than the final. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I mean, there is something about not getting the chance to go to Wembley and just not quite making it. Must be very difficult.
I think so. Again, I mean, 12 years ago, Oxford went back into the Football League at Wembley, beating York City, and that was. I've never been so screwed up about a game again in my life because that meant such a lot. You know, you've been another 5 years out of the league for Oxford. But people say via Wembley is the best way to go up.
Yeah.
I think the Northampton players would have preferred to have gone up at Barrow, if I'm honest with you. But there we go. Swap Barrow for Wembley.
Yeah.
But it'll be tough tonight. I mean, they're a good side, Mansfield. They've got some good forwards.
We got that game for you live. Joe Shannon and Adrian Clark, former Arsenal midfielder, will be there on TalkSport 2, quarter to eight kickoff.
Yeah, I will look out for them. Look out for them tonight.
And you fancy?
I think the one goal and that Northampton got in the second half. I mean, is you take one down coming back? I think, but it's going to be a nervous one.
Yeah, of course it is. Well, Jim, lovely to see you as always.
Well. Always listen to you guys on the treadmill now and again. I listen to you boys.
Good looking, good.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
The good work.
And yeah,
thanks
likewise.
For asking me in.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It should be a great night at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan.
I said that yesterday to Adrian. It's one of those, if you're the European football expert, what a night we had at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan. Sanchez Pizjuan. Liverpool won. Where were we? Yeah, we asked you earlier on. Now, there was a hedgehog. Do you know those little holes you have in the pit in the park where they put the goalposts in? Hedgehog got stuck in there. RSPCA in Newcastle came out, fished it out, nursing it back to health. And while they do, they've given the hedgehog a name. Of course, they've called it Shearer. And
they painted a number 9 on it.
You don't be painting on a hedge, you're not a tortoise. Although you've been telling us about very similar stories. Reading fan from Bristol, my Labrador's called Pickford, as we got him during the last World Cup. It sounds quite a posh name, doesn't it? Pickford? Sounds like, James in Reading there. That's quite nice. In light of this week's events, Darren, the Spurs fan, this isn't quite what I meant, but this was because apparently a survey says fans of Liverpool and Everton are the ones most likely to go and put their kits on while they're watching their team or listening to them on the radio rather than going to the game. Mm. Darren says, I found a sticky old sweet in my rucksack. I've put it on my desk at work. And since then, we've beaten Arsenal, Burnley, and Arsenal imploded on Monday. I won't let the cleaners bin it. See, that's the stupid things we do in the name of football, Darren. Thank you very much for that.
I don't think they'll need his sweet.
Well, we might do. I've got a beagle called Seamus after Seamus Coleman, says Ryan, the Everton fan. And where's this one? I've got cats called, I did have cats called Muzzy, Stan and Wes, named after Messrs. Izzet, Collie Moore and Wes Morgan. At the moment, I've got Vardy and Matty. Matt Elliott and, of course, Jamie.
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, thank you very much from, that's Jim, the Leicester fan.
Talking of that, a letter to the Sun today asks if anyone cares about the Agatha Christie case. Of course they do, the Sun, for a start. They're loving it.
Wow.
After a difference of opinion of recollection between Rooney and Jamie Vardy, Wayne Rooney and Jamie Vardy, yeah. Will they have to subpoena Roy to kind of say who actually is right?
Well, Roy could reprise that after the Iceland game. I really don't know what I'm doing here. Fantastic, wouldn't it? It'd be just something so horribly frivolous, and that you'd have to have Ray Lewington alongside him, sort of shouting the odds. That would be very good. Excellent. It's interesting. You know, we often hear about Formula One drivers doing a lot of their prep for circuits on simulations, you know. But this is an interesting. When they're playing the US PGA, Rory McIlroy said rather than play practice rounds, he's just been going online. He said, rather than doing a scouting trip at Southern Hills, because it's all been renovated, he said, yeah, first, he said, what I did, they said, called the Fried Egg on Twitter, did a little video that they sent out, and I watched that. Then Golf Digest had a few flyovers on the course.
Who's the Fried Egg?
It's a Twitter feed. And they spoke to the designer, the guy's redesigned the course, right. About what he's done. I've got no idea. Is it a golf phrase? Maybe the listeners will let us know. Maybe there's a golf relevance of the Friday
being.
Yeah,
there must be, I suppose.
A golf thing. But, Golf Digested flyovers. So he said, sometimes not knowing where the trouble is, ignorance is bliss in some ways. But you wouldn't expect that of golfers, would you?
No, you wouldn't. It's not a cheap sandwich at the Masters.
I don't think it. What, the fried egg sandwich at the USPGA costs $1.50.
Pimento cheese.
It costs just $1.50.
Best sandwich ever. An Ed Sheeran superfan is having a baby with a pop star's spitting image, the Sun told us today.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating. She loves Ed Sheeran so much. She ended up marrying a lookalike or being with a lookalike.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it? He said, I just have to weigh up if women are just interested in me because I'm the next best thing to Ed. You think, well, no disrespect to Ed, but he's not, you know, he's a sort of hunk, is he really? It's quite a strange thing to say.
I don't know. I mean, he's a great talent. Maybe that's
well,
the
he is a great talent.
And...
But talking of lookalikes, for one person,
a critic.
Well, that's true. One person for whom it's gone terribly badly is the Vladimir Putin lookalike.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been complaining that he hasn't got any work. I mean, it's very surprising, is it? Not going to be a big call for that, but there
I
you go.
I think so, no.
Not really, no.
Despots are us.
Well, not really. What else have we got here? I've got... Oh, yeah, did you see that Mark Lawrenson is leaving Football Focus?
Oh, no, I didn't see
that. Yeah, after 25 years, which he's put in a good shift, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
And but they're changing... It's such a classic TV thing. They're changing format.
Mm.
They're going on the road. And you think, it's such a classic case of it's going to cost more for less.
Yeah. Also, confirmation of the fact that Fantasy Football League is returning for a series on Sky.
Mm.
With Matt Lucas and Ellis James.
And I'm very pleased. And I told you, I went to the pilot and it worked. It was good. And not an easy thing to do, but the producer, Spencer Millman, was originally part of the team. So he has the programme in his DNA.
DNA,
as they say.
Yeah. And it so looks, the set looks almost the same.
Yeah, a lot of it's the same. You know, obviously it's not David and Frank, but, you know, the Phoenix from the Flames was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But, shouldn't reveal who it is because I'm sure they'll use it.
We won't give too much away, but we've been chatting to Spencer and it sounded really, really good. Mm. So that's something to look forward to later on in the year.
I don't know if you saw those pictures of Boris playing cricket. Boris Johnson, not Boris Becker. Boris Johnson playing cricket in a suit. I've always loved politicians doing sport in a suit.
Yeah. Probably the most famous example of that was Tony Blair and Kevin Keegan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shirt and tie.
It looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Boris always looks like he wants to, you know, the kids just sort of lobbing it to him gently. He always looks like he wants to hit it for out of the ground.
Yeah, Simon Day, isn't it? go and fetch that. Like
there's
Aviv.
A feeling of that. Definitely.
Fried egg is half buried or plug ball in the sand. Oh, loads of people been telling us.
Of course.
Fried egg is where a ball plugs in the bunker. It was Brian. It was, who else? Yes, Coach Lockie told us. Yeah, plug good. Bunker shot. Well, thank you, guys. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's where it comes to JC and Stevenage and Smudge and lots of other people. Thank you for telling us. Good name for a dog, Ty. What about that? Named after the three-time World Speedway champion, Ty Woofenden. Of course, it had to be. He had three other names, but that was the one that had to get it. So well done. Thank you very much for saying that.
Do you ever do Wordle?
I've never bothered.
It's quite fun. I like doing it, but
I've never bothered.
Can I ask people, I mean, even our own...
I've only ever done it once, and that was because you said to me, this couldn't be Wordle today. And I looked at the word you'd put in, I said... No, Andy, unless it's gone X-rated. I said, I think you'll find looking at the word is mince. And that's the only time I've ever played it. And it was playing it through you. But that wasn't your finest hour, Andy.
No, probably not. I'm all right at it.
Paul, how dare you insinuate that Andy isn't a hunk? Okay, well, that's obviously you've got some big friends in Long Stratton here, Andy. Well, I wasn't insinuating anything
of the sort. I mean, the one thing I'm definitely not is a hunk.
I can't believe you never watched his Southern Comfort advert on Copacabana Beach? Well, of course, I was lucky to be there when you shot that, Andy, in your Speedos. What a thought.
Can I just say that people who do Wordle, and this includes our great friend Andy Smart, who I love completely, you know, great friend and everything, but stop putting it on Twitter. I don't know why you do that. Nobody cares. I did it in three. I did it in two. It's just boasting.
Okay. Andy, keep doing it. It annoys him. Do it more.
Don't do it.
Do it a couple of times. Actually, send it to him. WhatsApp it to him.
Well, that would be better.
And would it? What, really?
I prefer that than putting it online.
Okay. It's a part of a community, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, I don't know.
I just think it's a boasting thing.
Okay, there we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Down the left-hand side, great run from Surridge. Johnson's free in the area. Johnson! Brennan Johnson! Nottingham Forest 1 foot in a Wembley final. Sander Berger down the right-hand side of the box. Gets to the byline, pulls it back. Gibbs White turns it in. An immediate response from Sheffield United at the start of the second half. And it's the man that Steve Cooper used to coach when he was an England youth coach. Baldock gets into the area, goes on the outside of him, crosses it in, it's all square! George Baldock got away down the right-hand side, squared it across, and from close range, John Fleck poked it home. It is 3-3 on aggregate. And there goes the full-time whistle. So we have to have another 30 minutes at least. Up in the air inadvertently by a Forest boot. Oh. Will it drop? Oh, what a save by Samba! Gibbs White, I think, tried to send it goalwards, and what a save! Michael Oliver says that's enough, and what that means is it's going to mean the lottery of penalty kicks for a chance to take a really strong advantage. Cook right footed into the net. They're on the brink. Nottingham Forest has to score, Gibbs White. And it's saved! Bree Samba makes the save! Nottingham Forest have done it! It's Forest who will play Huddersfield on the 29th of May.
Yeah, that's how it unfolded last night with Ian Danta and Adrian Clark at the City Ground. I'm sure enjoying that. Certainly now it's all over. Is the comedian and Forest fan Matt Ford. Good afternoon, Matt.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I was welling up listening to that back. What an incredible night.
Yeah. It was a long night, wasn't it? Because it all seemed to be going your way when Johnson scored and you thought, that's it, they've got it sorted now. But, you know, Sheffield United came back big time in the game and had the better of it later on, and it was pretty nervy stuff, wasn't it?
Oh, it was emotional hell, because when Johnson scores and then you 3-1 up on aggregate, you basically think it's a coronation. And then it turns into a funeral and you could sort of feel the game was slipping away. I'd started off in such a good mood, and then just in physical pain, I kept crying, thinking, oh, no, not again. And then you go to penalties, and then when Samba saves the first two, you think, well, this is it. I mean, to save three penalties in the shootout, sensational. Yeah. It was just incredible. And then just the scenes after, I mean, it was ballistic. I was in the back bit, and I ended up in the manager's office.
Really? how did that work?
I've just been on Johnny Owen of Talk Sport. He's a director. And he, so I can't remember what he said, but I just ended up following him down this corridor. Then all of a sudden, like Ryan Yates, I was like, I think I've come the wrong way. I go into this room and it's just like sausages and pork pies. So I started eating, and then Nigel Jensen comes in. Come here, he goes, what the bloody hell are you doing here? I said, I actually don't know.
And
they let me stay. It was great. I mean, the amount of sausages they have backstage at Forest, not backstage, what is it like?
Steve,
going to the darts in the 70s.
I think Steve like Cooper's rider is quite heavily sausage based.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That is exclusive.
Yeah,
he's got to be up for Manager of the Year, isn't he? One of the managers of the year, definitely in the championship. But anywhere, I mean,
bottom of the table
after 8 games, bottom of the table. He's done a brilliant job, and he's a brilliant coach.
He's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I can't ever remember a manager having an immediate impact at the point. I mean, it took Cluffy longer than this. And he had a pretty quick impact. It's just incredible. And obviously, Steve Cooper deserves so much of the credit, but the players are amazing and the way the clubs run. You know, there's just... You could sort of see it last night. Just, I mean, every club obviously wants to get promoted and all the rest of it. But we've had to wait ages. And obviously, we're still not there yet. But just that mad release of tension at the end.
Yeah,
I always think though that a manager who gets a team promoted like that, they should leave, because it's always unfair, you know. It's all right if Forest do well and they stay up and everything, they do a Brentford, that's fine. But if they don't, if they do a Norwich or a Watford, you know, the manager's the one that usually carries the can. It always seems fairly unfair. I don't know about you, when they've got them promoted and done such a
brilliant job. No,
you're right.
It does often happen. They're the ones who end up losing their job, even though, you know, they've worked miracles to get them there. But you've got to get there first, of course. And I was looking at your record against Huddersfield, Matt, and you've beaten them a couple of times, once in the cup and lost one. So, I mean, those games, how have you sort of generally matched up against them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we sort of our turnaround started against Huddersfield, really, beating them after Hooton was fired. So we've not got a bad record against them. I just think, obviously, in a final, it's basically fairly evenly matched. And I just feel so confident. I mean, you know, last night was difficult. Oh, yeah, yeah. I just think, you know, this sausage-powered Cooper revolution. I just can't. You know what? I'll tell you this about Huddersfield. I have a lot of respect for them. I bet they don't have pork pies and sausages in their manager's office. Well, I bet they've got sushi and tofu and all that modern rubbish. Forest is powered on the spirit of good old fashioned staunch food.
What's the ticket situation for the playoff final? Normally, it's full of fans from both clubs. So hopefully, you'll get yourself a ticket.
Yeah, well, I thought you were asking me if I could get you one there.
Yeah,
Andy.
No,
mate.
It's
not live on air, mate.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to watch it on the telly, because I'm not, I've got no skin in the game. But I do love the playoff final. It's always a great game.
On a slightly darker note, though, we should say that the assault on Billy Sharp was appalling. And I saw you tweeting, classy from him to say congratulations to Forrest. I mean, it was just not going to let one rogue idiot or some idiots ruin it for everybody else. But it's difficult, isn't it, Matt? The pitch invasion now. So many people go on the pitch just to celebrate and congratulate their own players. But when, you know, we saw a bit of that, the Luton Huddersfield game the other night, when they start turning on the opposition seconds after they've lost the game, it's getting a bit menacing. You wonder where this is all going.
Well, that's the problem. You know, I mean, that assault is... It's a wonder Billy Sharp wasn't killed, actually. Yeah. He's headbutted so violently. It's just disgusting to sit, and there's no need for it. And like, it wouldn't be justified on anyone, but particularly Billy Sharp, who's such a gentleman, has been through so much and does so much amazing stuff for charity and played for Forest, and he was so gracious in the face of that, you know, sickening attack. And I think there's two sort of things. One is, you totally understand the exuberance of fans who went on the pitch, despite the club trying to get them not, you know. I mean, there's only so much stewards can do, frankly, in that sort of scenario, and the club begged people not to do it. I people want to celebrate, that's fine. But and that's what most people do. Then using it as a kind of conduit for hooliganism is something completely different. And a bit of exuberance, you know, is sort of understood. But violence and aggression, and certainly the sort of stuff... I mean, that guy, I just can't... I only saw it this morning. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's absolutely incredible that someone would do that. You know, really horrible. But obviously, I can't allow it to take the edge off. You know, an amazing night, but it's just you just embarrass. You know, it's appalling.
It was senseless, no question.
So you've got quite a few days to wait now, haven't you? You're going to be, how many more sleeps you've been working it all out of you till the game? It's quite about 12 days or something.
Yeah, it's 11 days, so I think it's about two sleeps.
Right. That is nerve-wracking, though.
I don't know how I've stayed out of the pub today. It's a medical miracle. I had an ice cream earlier because I knew I was coming on here. I thought, I can't go to the pub before I talk to the boys. I'm just stood in a park. I mean, I should be leathered by now, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you haven't got a gig that night, have you? We were chatting yesterday to Chris McCausland, who's a big Liverpool fan and has got a gig the night of the Champions League final, but you haven't got anything booked. I think it's going to be unbooked if you have.
You know what? I've got a gig the following night, which is almost as precarious, depending on what happens. But I shall fulfil my contractual obligations, of course. But, I mean, you know, it's just, isn't football amazing? You know, it occasionally crosses my mind. Mm. Some people don't watch it. Yeah. And you think, you're mad. Well, you're missing out on the most amazing thing in life.
Yeah.
And it just... nights like last night, and in a way it makes all those years in League One and all those terrible near misses all worth it, because, you know, for nights like last night, they're just, whatever happens, you always have those moments, and they're just so special. You know, I'm in a park and I'm crying on the radio, what's the matter with
me? It's true, there is nothing, you can't get that joy out of ballet or theatre, or, you know, that is football, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so, you know, the emotions it gives to you are so special. Oh, man. I don't know why I feel sad now, because I'm happy, but I feel so confused.
It got a bit, you just said, it got a bit Alan Latchley there. You remember the character that Peter Cook did on Clive Anderson's show? Football wouldn't be football without football. She's a cruel mistress. She's more than a mistress. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's a daughter. She's an errant child. She can make you laugh. She can make you cry. She can bring tears to your eyes. She can bring blood to your shoulders, as he said. She can bring a kettle to the boil. Anyway, I've destroyed it. Football is nothing without football, as the great Alan Latchley said. So I think he speaks for us all there.
He had a point.
Even that was nonsense. Well, look, you can go and have that pint now to wash down the ice cream. And good to talk to you, Matt. No doubt we'll catch up before or after the final. And we'll speak to you soon.
Oh, I know what I want to ask, Matt.
All right, you've got one more question,
well,
sorry.
Would be quite, have you, because I know you're great mates with John Richardson, he's a massive Leeds fan. You both must have had the thought that you'll be in the Premier League and they'll be in the Championship.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it's weird to think we might pass them on the way up, but, you know, I think the country will agree. That is a price worth paying.
Cheers, Matt. Thanks very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You don't need telling that our next guest strides the world of watercress eating like a colossus. And really, when he competes in world championships, he's really taking on himself, not the opposition. Although he was pushed hard this year. I'm assuming quite a lot of knowledge of the World Watercress Eating Championship among the listeners, but I think I'm right to do that, Andy. I don't want to patronise.
I don't know anything about it. I didn't know if it was a sort of vast quantity or against the clock.
Well, do you want to find out more?
I do.
I do know, because I study these things. But yes, we will find out now.
You're TalkSport's watercress correspondent.
I am. Glenn Walsh, of course, is the world champion. Good afternoon, Glenn.
Good afternoon.
Well, look, congratulations. You did it again, as Britney Spears once said. And you've held the title now for 14 years, and you smashed your own record this year, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I did think, actually, when I come on here, I thought, your producer's having a laugh here. He said, you've got a big Rangers game on today.
Yeah.
He said, hey, guys, I know what I do. We've got a lovely story about a hedgehog falling down a hole and being rescued. Brilliant. Mm. And I tell you what we do. We've got a 19-stone, 6-foot-old prop forward that can eat salad really quickly.
That's very much the staple of this show.
What's going on here?
It's a broad church. You know, we've talked about the match and we will do again, but we'll always find room for somebody who shovels 80 grams of watercress into their mouth in a fast time, because I think we're duty bound.
Do you like watercress?
It's a silly question.
To be honest with you, no. I think that's probably why it's a fast. Get it down your neck really quick, and then, you know, get some Guinness down there just to get rid of the taste, really. So,
I mean, in isolation, it's not all that, is it? I mean, if you put it in a bit of an egg sandwich or something,
I'm with you on that. I mean, it's great complimentary. I used to love it in a ham sandwich or anything like that. But if you eat the 80 grams of it all in one go, I know it's a superfood and it's got all these minerals and it's brilliant for you. But that's why I only eat it once a year now. And the rest of the year, that's it. It's meat and Guinness. And that's, you're good for a year after it.
Jeremy's been in touch. He said Glenn wins it every year because he gets healthier and healthier. It's obvious. I suppose there is something in that, of course. Every year when you devour it, you become that much healthier and go and do it again. But how did you get into it? Or what made you do it for the first time if you don't like watercress?
I think it's like 18 years ago when we started it up. It was quite a small affair. It was also Watercress Festival. It was very small, a couple of stalls and bits and pieces. I just want to promote it as a health food, a superfood and all this. And it was a bit with all the rugby boys and everything. You know, they're going, oh, it's a bit of a laugh and everything. Let's do this so you can eat what they can. So it started from there. And being competitive as hell, and I hate losing, I sort of done really well. And the thing is, you make a rod for your own back then, so you know you've got to go back the next year. I almost like dread it every time because I don't want to lose, but you know I want to win. You know, but
well, you've got to give it a go. Is it true there was a crowd of 18,000? That sounds incredible.
That's not bad. I think quite a league one.
I mean, the first year, I mean, like I said, it was only like a small affair, and as the years have gone on, it's so popular. I mean, you've got so many wonderful stalls, you know, all the local butchers and everything like that do all these watercress and sausages and bits and pieces of real ales and all food stalls and everything along there. It's a fantastic day. It really is.
It's part of the Watercress Festival, isn't it, now these days?
It is. I mean, Oursford is, you know, the prime place, really, for the watercress because you've got the springs and you've got all the minerals and everything like that in there, which, you know... But,
so you had an 85 gram bag of watercress in 25.5 seconds, which does make you the world record holder. You're waiting for Guinness to verify. Is that right?
He's waiting for Guinness.
This is true. I mean, I know a young girl has done a record a little while ago. It was like 40-odd seconds or whatever. Hmm. But, I mean, we've been there every year. I mean, obviously not for the last 3 years. We've done it online. But... you know, we've been under 40 seconds for years. So, we're doing our bit.
Yeah, and you've got the whole family involved now. And your daughter did quite well. She was the runner-up, is that right?
No, Ellen was the runner-up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they're triplets, you see. You know, they do get mixed up a bit. So Laura, Ellen and Beth. Mm. And I also had my son Connor, who was a close second to me. Right. Well, I say close, he was like 30 seconds. He said, the old man's passed it, but I still got there. So he said, next year, but...
Wow. Now, you, according to the internet, you're a fencer, is that right? You
do a bit of fencing, right, yeah.
The sport, he doesn't put up fences.
No, the sport, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
And in fencing, you've got things like épée and foil and different types. Is it only eating it against the clock? Is there sort of another prize?
Endurance,
like volume, I'd say.
Yeah.
Volume. Yeah, well, volume. We did a few years ago. We have Paul Reese that does the comparing bit. If you ever see the video, you see, I mean, it could have taken 20 minutes to do the whole heat. Well, it'd take like over an hour with all the chat. But, we did 1 year. Paul wasn't there and they got it all mixed up and we had double the amount. Oh. And it was like well over a minute everyone was going. We had all the ones looking at it and done it before going, oh my God, look at the state of that. We can't eat all of that. And I think the crowd was just getting there in the end. They just got bored. So
yeah, that's true.
It's going to be far. It's a fast sport, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like drag racing. It's going to be over quickly. You don't know what endurance watercress eating. Who does? Let's be honest.
That's true.
Well, look, Glenn, congratulations. We look forward to the verification from the Guinness Book of World Records, and no doubt you'll be back next year to defend it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I can't get out of it now. That's it. I'm stuck there for life now.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you're there to be shot down by the kids and everybody else.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's always the youth coming through, isn't it?
It is.
Know?
Well, it's the nature life, of it, isn't it?
You get out for so long and then, you know, we've got to be taken over at some point.
You go on the Masters circuit then. Masters watercress. Thank you, Glenn. All the best.
A pleasure. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, Glenn Walsh there, the world watercress eating champion.
There's only one person to compare it next year. Aaron Cresswell.
Yes, got to get him down there. You've got to get him down there just to pop along. Imagine that, the call to his agent.
Yeah.
Is Aaron interested in coming to the World Watercress? Almost certainly not, but I'll ask him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Myself and Charlie will do it all again tomorrow from 1. Have a fine evening. And it's the birthday spread tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.